Number 43, Genesis chapter number 43. We're going to continue on in our story with Joseph. And last week we saw how he went and they caused the brothers to take the emphasis off of Joseph and then place it upon the brothers here. And we're going to continue on in this story a little bit. This morning's passage of scripture, we're actually going to be going over two chapters worth. So we're going to kind of just, don't worry, we're not going to read all that. And we don't plan on being here all afternoon. But there is a lot of things I'd like to cover today and ask this question. And it's the question, have you had enough? Have you had enough? In the story here in Genesis chapter number 43, we pick up where we left off last week. And in the story, you see that Joseph's brothers, because of the famine that God allowed to come into the land of into all the world, had gone down to Egypt to be able to buy food. Egypt was the only place that had the food, and Joseph had been lifted up to being the prime minister of Egypt. And as the prime minister of Egypt, if they wanted food, they had to go through Joseph. And as the story goes along, we learned last week, we're not going to re-preach the whole message, but as the story went along last week, we saw that when Joseph's brothers came on the scene, they did not recognize him. As an Egyptian, he would dress differently. He had aged those number of years, and the brothers didn't even know who he was. Joseph spoke roughly to them. Joseph wanted to find out information about his youngest brother that did not make the trip, and also about his father. And through this, he was able to keep his identity a secret, but Joseph knew who it was. Joseph's brothers then head back with the grain they need, but also inside the grain, the packages of grain or the sacks of grain they had, they received their money. And they became very fearful about that because of the fact that they did not know what God was doing. And chapter 42 and verse 28 was the main verse from last week. And at the end, it asks this question, what is this that God have done unto us? And the thought here in the process we were trying to get is that these 10 brothers, these 10 grown men who had sold Joseph into slavery earlier, had come to the realization that hard times had fallen on their families, hard times had fallen into their own lives, and they were asking this question, what is this that God had done unto us? God was allowing things to happen into their lives to be able to help them realize they were wrong with God, and God was trying to bring them back into a right relationship and a right fellowship with Him. And the story, chapter 43 and chapter 44, there's a lot of events that happen and take place that continues to work, and God continues to use Joseph to work these 10 men into a relationship to help them understand that there is something they need to change in their lives. And as we read through some of the passages of Scripture today, I want you to take notice of a couple things. And we are going to read for a little while. I want you to take notice of a couple things. First of all, one of Joseph's brothers, his name is Judah. Judah is a special character in the story because of the 12 brothers that begin to make up the line of Israel, Jesus Christ is going to come through the line of Judah. God is going to do a particular work in Judah's life. And remember earlier, Judah was the one that actually had the idea to sell Joseph into slavery. And here, God is going to work in Judah's life, and it's going to come to the point where Judah is willing to surrender it all, and Judah is willing to confess and get everything right to Joseph and also with his father. And that's where you get the idea of the message. Have you had enough? See, sometimes in our lives, God allows things to happen. And sometimes God is trying to bring us into a right relationship with Him. Sometimes He may allow sickness or a financial hardship or a emotional hardship or a relationship. Lots of different things. See, God loves us so much. He doesn't want us to continue on in sin. And God sometimes brings things into people's lives to help them realize, you're not right with me and I want you to get right with me. Now, don't let me also say this before we get too far into the message. I know that bad things happen to good people. I understand that it's not always because of sin, but many times it is. And in this case, it is because of the sin that Judah and the brothers had done to Joseph earlier. And we talked about it last week. All those years, Joseph's father kept on mourning his son's death, thinking because of who he had sent on a trip, was torn by an animal, was killed by an animal, and he probably felt sorry for what he did. He was mourning his son's death. And over, God uses, through Joseph, circumstance, Once again, this famine is not something funny. We hear about famine and we think, okay, what's the big deal? They didn't have enough rain. This is going to be a 7-year famine that God allowed to happen to, number one, to help Joseph to save many people alive and to bring people to Egypt to be able to preserve their life. But also, I believe this happened so that way these 10 boys, or now men, are going to get right with God and now be ready to begin this great nation of Israel. We learn in through our study through the book of Genesis that God called a man. His name was Abraham. And Abraham, at the age of 100, had that child, Isaac. And then Isaac had his children. And this is where the lineage is coming through. God was calling and bringing a man out so he could begin a nation. And through that nation, we see the Old Testament. All the stories of the Old Testament is about this particular nation. Is it because Abraham was special? No, it's because Jesus Christ was going to come through these people, these men, and especially through the line of Judah. So it came to the point where God allowed famine happen. They go and they buy the grain. Now here in chapter number 43, they've run out of grain. They're worried that they can't feed their families. They're worried they don't know what they're going to do. And Jacob comes up and says, okay, boys, let's go back down to Egypt. Well, the problem is, the last time when Joseph was there, he spoke roughly to them. He called them spies, just like the brothers had called Joseph a spy earlier. He actually took one of the brothers, put Simeon in jail and says, look, you're not going to be able to have any more food, and you are not going to be able to have Simeon until you prove to me that you're not a spy, and you bring your younger brother back with you. Now, why is all this happening? Why is Joseph causing, see, God's causing these things to happen to try to bring things into Joseph's brother's life to get them to wake up and for them to get right with God. See, God loves us so much. He has a desire to want to have a good fellowship with you. First of all, we were separated with God because of our sin. He sent Jesus Christ to this world to die for our sins, and we can be in a relationship with God and through his son, Jesus Christ. But after that, sin separates our fellowship from God, doesn't separate our relationship. Once you're saved, I believe the Bible teaches you that you're a child of God and he gives you everlasting life. He gives you eternal life. You cannot lose that, I believe the Bible teaches. But your fellowship, when you enter into sin and you let sin harbor and you let bitterness stay in your heart, you know what? That fellowship is broken between you and God. And God wants that fellowship. God desires to have good fellowship with you. God allows things to come into your life to bring you back to the spot where you are back in a right fellowship with him. And that's what's happening here. These 10 men, years earlier, and they have been living with this sin for years, and now God wants them to get right. He first sends the famine. These 10 men go to Joseph. They don't know it's Joseph. He treats them very roughly, he says. And then they put Simeon in jail. Let's pick up here in chapter 43. We'll talk a little bit through this. Once again, we're going to try to do chapter 43 and 44 this morning. But we're not going to read all the stories. But the question is, I like for you to ask yourself, and the question I'd like for you to look at, first the character Judah, then I also want you to see Joseph in this story. He is yearning to reveal himself to his brothers, but he does not do it until God allows him to do it, and there is a reason for that. I want you to see the love Joseph has for his brothers. Let's pick up here in Genesis chapter number 43, verse number 1, and the famine was sore in the land. Once again, this famine had gotten so bad that they had ran out of food once again. It came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, now in the chapter earlier, Reuben had actually spoke up and said, hey, look, you can hold me accountable. But Jacob doesn't want to have anything to do with Reuben. Reuben has disqualified himself as the number one man in the family because of a sin that he had committed with one of Jacob's concubines. And here Judah spake unto him, saying, the man, well, who's the man? It's Joseph here. They do not know it's Joseph, but he's saying that this man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. Now, Jacob does not want to send Benjamin. Most of us already know that Benjamin is Joseph's full brother. It is by his wife, whom he loved greater than any of the other wives or concubines. And he is the child of his old age. And because what happened to Joseph, he did not want the same thing to happen. He says in verse number 4, if thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. And Judah's saying, hey, look, if you let Benjamin go, then we'll go. And he says, but if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, the man asked us straitly of our state. Now, which is kind of weird if they didn't know him. But Joseph knew them and was concerned for his father and for his brother. And our kindred saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel, his father. Now, once again, Judah is the one who sold Joseph into slavery. Judah is the one who has concocted the whole plan. And he says, send the lad with me. You see, he's growing up here. Because of the situation and circumstances, he no longer just cares about himself. He's caring about his father. Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. Once again, it's gotten so bad that their children and their grandchildren have been affected by this famine. He said, I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, and let me bear the blame forever. So we'll stop there in this portion of the story. So we see them, Jacob finally decides, okay, we'll go ahead and send them. It says in verse 14, it says, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And so they head off into Egypt. And now while they're in Egypt, something strange happens. They get back into the land, and then they see Joseph. They bring Benjamin in. And it says in verse chapter number 30, it says actually 29, and he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin and his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. You know, Joseph here in this story is just dying to get reunited with his brothers. He wants to reveal himself. He wants them to understand who he is, but he knows his brothers need to learn something. God's trying to use Joseph here in this place. In Genesis chapter number 44, we see that Joseph does something odd. And in the chapter number 43, he throws a great feast. They drink, and it says they were merry with him at the end of verse number 43. Verse 44, there's something interesting that happens. Verse number 1, he commanded the steward of his house and saying, fill the men's sack with food as much as they carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And in verse number 2, he says, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack of the mouth of the youngest and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. For time's sake, we're just going to try to tell the story a little bit and make some references to the word of God. So what is happening here is God is dealing with an individual. I know that all the brothers are there, but point number 1 in the sermon is God deals with individuals. God is interested in individuals. When we think about our church, we think, okay, God is dealing with us. You know how God deals with us collectively? Is he deals with us as individuals. There's 10 brothers that are here, but God is specifically interested in one of those, and that is Judah. Judah is the one that sold him. Judah is the one that concocted the story. And we may speak collectively when we talk about our families. We may speak collectively when we talk about our churches. We may speak collectively when we speak about friendships. But God is always interested in dealing with you personally. He cares about your heart and he loves you. You know, I have a family. I love my family collectively as a unit, but I also love them individually. I love my wife. I love Christian. I love Andrew. And God deals with the families, but when God works in the life of a family, he works in the heart of an individual. I've seen some hearts of some families where there is one who gets on fire for God, one who brings revival into his own heart and into his own life, but the same thing does not happen to the family. Usually after a while, the family will come around and begin wanting to serve because of the relationship and because of the what they see in the life, the change that was made here. But God works in the lives of individuals. See, don't be going out and praying just for other people to get right. Don't just go and pray that God will give me a burden or the deacons a burden or other people a burden. God wants to work in your heart today. God's not just looking to work on some one person. He didn't bring over 100 people here to just sit there and listen so that one person can be dealt with. No, God is trying to speak to all of our hearts collectively, yes, but more importantly, individually. You think about some of the things that God brought into people's lives. God used some interesting things. You think about Moses. Moses on the backside of the desert. What did God use? He used a burning bush. Why did he bring the burning bush? To bring him into a relationship. God had a plan and a purpose for him. You think God dealt with the individual Balaam. Balaam, how did God deal with him? God used a donkey to speak to the pagan prophet. You know, God uses things to try to get us to a certain spot where he can use us. God is trying to get us to the point where we will surrender and say, okay, enough is enough. I have had enough. I want to serve you, Lord. This is my life. Do what you want with it. And that's where he's trying to get these brothers at. You think about the story of King Saul. God used the bleeding of some sheep to talk to this wayward king. You think about the widow of Zarephath. God used an empty meal barrel and a dead son to speak to this poor widow. Elijah, God used a touch, a meal, a small still voice to encourage the discouraged prophet. Naaman, God used a little slave girl to speak to his heart. Simon Peter, God used a rooster to speak to his heart. God allows things to happen to speak to individuals' hearts. And what I'm trying to encourage you to do today is to wake up and say, you know what? Is God trying to speak to you? Is God trying to talk to you? We turn around and look at all our circumstances and we look for someone to blame. We look for some reason and we can't always figure it out. But the list could go on and on that God loves individuals and God is speaking to individuals. And this story in chapter 42, chapter 43, chapter number 44, God allows Joseph to put on different things and that different things that happen to these brothers. Why? It's because he wants to get them right. Have you had enough? Have you had enough things happen in your life? Are you ready to finally surrender to God? Second thing I want you to think about is, in the story, Joseph puts his cup there. As he puts his cup in the sack, he sends them away again. And then he traps Benjamin and he's getting ready to take Benjamin to be a slave. At least that's what he's telling them. And then Judah steps up. And Judah realizes all the things that have happened to him and he sees there's a reason for it and he's had enough. And Judah says, okay, I'm willing to get right with God. Let's look here at what it says in verse number 11. Joseph has put the cup in Benjamin's sack. They catch up to the men while they're traveling. And in verse number 11, they are opening all the sacks and they find the silver cup in Benjamin's sack. It says, then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they had rent their clothes and laid at every man his ass and returned to the city. So we see that they find the cup in Benjamin's sack. They only required that Benjamin go back and they only require Benjamin be held accountable. But you see what happens in verse 13. You see a change in these men's lives. If it was Joseph, they sold him into slavery, but they realize God is working on their hearts and all the men, they rent their clothes. They are saddened by the circumstances. They laid at every man his ass and returned back to the city. They didn't leave Benjamin out for his own. You see, these men went back to fight for Benjamin. See what's happening in their lives? There's a change that's happening. Before, they could care less about Joseph. I'm sure they cared less about Benjamin. But here in verse 14, and Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that you have done? What not ye not that such a man as I am certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto you, my Lord? Now look at the next couple phrases. What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. You know, what are they saying there? He's saying, God has found our iniquity. God has revealed, God is punishing us for the sin that we had done. And he's saying, look, we're all your servants. Well, Joseph isn't willing to put up with that. Joseph isn't accepted with that. Joseph wants him to respond. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Now, in the next few verses, Judah grows up spiritually here. Judah here no longer is caring about himself. He's willing to give himself up for his younger brother and for his dad's sake. Now, we remember many years earlier, Judah could care less about his dad. Judah could care less about his younger brother. But we see Judah has now repented, as we saw in verse number 16. He is getting right with God, and he is willing to stand and be the person to take the place of Benjamin. Then Judah came near unto him and said, "O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asks his servant," he begins to rehearse to him why all these things happen, saying, "Have ye a father, a brother?" And we said unto my Lord, "We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more." You see, Judah here is reasoning, and he's laying out his heart. "And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us. Then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, thy father, said unto us, you know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since." Now, this is the first time I think Joseph realizes what they told their father about his death. And it says, verse 29, "If you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." He says, "Look, I'm going to die if anything happens to Benjamin. Now, therefore, when I come to my servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave." You see what's happening here? He's willing to stand in Benjamin's place. He's caring more about his father than himself. Years earlier, he could lie to his father and say, "Hey, look, it must have been an animal that killed him," even though he was sold into slavery. "It shall come to pass," verse 31, "that he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant upon our father with sorrow to the grave." He is caring for his father. "Joseph has seen enough, for thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now, therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord." He's willing to give up his life, his own family. He's willing to give up everything to stay and be a slave. "And let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that should come on my father?" I know we read a lot, but there's helping understand Judah here is he's a changed man. It's amazing what God can do. The first point was when we talked about the first point, we learned that God deals with individuals. The second thing is God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not our ways. See, we see in this story that God's way is not always the way we would do and not always the way we would think. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You say, where do you get that at? Well, see, if it was me and you, we would have never used Judah. If it was me and you, Joseph, and when Joseph was there, and Joseph sees these boys, we would have picked out Judah and said, okay, he's the one that needs to go to jail. These all 10 men need to be put in slavery for the 17 years that I was put in slavery. These men need to be separated from their families, just like I was separated from my family. See, if we were the ones doing it, we would have never, ever given them the opportunity. But see, the difference is God's ways are different than ours. See, God sees the sins that we do sometimes, and he wants to forgive them. He wants to enter back into a right relationship. And, you know, if it was us, we would never chose Judah, because Judah was the one who said to his brethren, "What profit is if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites." Judah was saying, "Here's our brother, he's our flesh, we don't want to hurt him, but let's just go ahead and sell him." Judah's the one that was able to Judah was the one live all these years with this sin, but now we see a change. See, God's ways are not our ways. We would deal with people in different ways, but we don't deal thoroughly. See, most of us in chapter number 43 would have saw that they were sorry for their sin, but Joseph would have revealed himself. No. See, what happens in chapter 43? They go home. They talk to their dad. Do they reveal unto him what they did to Joseph? Do they confess it to the Joseph, the prime minister? No, there is no repentance of the sin. There are circumstances in their life that is drawing them down and dragging them down, but they still refuse to get right. So God continues to let them this to happen. The famine continues. They bring Benjamin back. They still don't get it right. And then after bringing Benjamin back, they put the silver cup inside the sack, and they still don't get it right. It's not until they see that, and they say, God has brought our sin out. I know what is wrong. I know why I'm facing these hardships. I know why I'm facing these trials. And see, God's dealing with them differently than we would. We would have revealed ourselves. Everything would have been okay. But these men still would have not have come to the point of repentance yet. The third thing I want you to see in this story is God desires to bring us to a place of surrender. See, there's people in our lives that think God could never use us again. There's people who think, okay, they messed up, they sinned, write them off. And see, not just people think that about others, but there's people sitting here that think that about themselves. They might say, there's no way God could use me because I did this or I did that. And Judah's a wonderful story here. Judah here, who committed a horrible sin by seeking relationship with a harlot, ended up having a child with his own daughter-in-law. Judah, the one who actually sold Joseph into slavery. Judah would not be the person he would choose to bring the line of Christ through. But it's amazing what God can do with a changed heart and with a changed life. It's amazing that God would do with a man who had done those heinous things. Look at chapter 45, and when you read chapter 45 and Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, I want you to think about the love that God has for a Christian that is away from him. Now, Joseph is not God. Joseph is not Jesus Christ. We've talked about him being a type in different ways, and these are different ways that Joseph reveals himself to his brethren, just like Jesus someday it talks about, and I think it's in one of the minor prophets that he will reveal himself to his brethren. They'll ask about the marks in his hands and his feet, and he's revealing himself to his brethren. So this is a picture of that, but I want you to see the love that Joseph has. In verse number 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. You know, he's heard Judah. He's seen Judah be repentant. He is now willing, Judah's willing to take Benjamin's place. He knows that Judah finally understands what he has done is wrong. And Joseph could not stand it any longer. And he cried. He called, and you can see this, Joseph is beginning to weep. It's one of the most touching stories in all the Bible. And you see, he's already forgiven him, and now he can embrace him. God, every man, he says, cause every man to get out from him. All the Egyptians left the room, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto the brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. So now he was weeping so loud in such a great way that those outside heard, and those told Pharaoh's house. Verse number 3, Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. You can imagine what these 10 men thought. They're surprised. Joseph says, I'm the guy you sold into slavery. I can imagine what their hearts would have thought. This guy's going to kill us. This guy's going to take us as slaves. Verse number 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came nearer, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved and angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. We're going to talk about those verses next week a little bit, but there's something I want to get you out of this picture. It's something I hope that you can understand, and this is the whole thing that I enjoy and that I've been looking forward to in the message. You see God sitting here. God loves you. I mean, Joseph loves these men. They come into there. He wants to reveal himself. He sees Benjamin. He has to go into the other room just to cry. And here now he can reveal himself. He is weeping out loud. He wants to be right with his brothers. He doesn't want to hold the bitterness anymore. He doesn't want to hold what they've done before in the past. He wants to forgive them. He wants to take care of them. He wants to use them. And you know, I see there, and I see in the story, a picture of what God's love is towards us. As a Christian, God saves us. And he keeps us. And then sometimes with our sin and because of our hardship, we don't want to surrender our lives. We don't want to be like Judah and give it all over to God and say, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, even if it means I had to give up my life and give up my family and give up everything else, I'm willing to surrender it all to do what you want me to do. And here, God is sitting there and he is waiting for people to get right with him. He wants to be able to have a fellowship with him. He wants to be able to love them. He wants you to get right. That's what I'm saying, is that the first thing is God deals with individuals. And there are things that we allow in our lives that separate us from God, and that breaks the heart of God. Just as Joseph's heart is broken here, Joseph's not interested in getting even. Joseph's not interested in being bitter. Joseph's not interested in making them slaves and separating from their family. Joseph is interested in a right relationship with his brothers. He loves his brothers. He wants them to love him back. He wants them to get along. He wants them, you know what? That's what God wants for us. So many times we sit and, like his brothers, we allow things to happen to us, and we allow things to happen to us, and we allow things to happen to us. And sometimes, just like a couple of chapters ago, we'll say, what is this thing that God hath done unto us? We'll even recognize that it's God allowing these things to happen to us, but we still hold on so tight. We still don't want to confess it. We still don't want to get it right. And then God has to bring something else. And then God has to bring something else. And God has to bring something else till he brings us to that place of surrender. I love the story of the prodigal son, because in the prodigal son, we see that this boy, he, even though he disrespects his father, he goes off and he wastes the money he received. But the story talks about in the prodigal son, it has this, that the father's looking for the son. Listen to what it says here. And the boy has done nothing but been ashamed to his father and put his father, through torture. But the father sitting and looking for the son to come home. The father is waiting for the child to come to himself. The father wants to get right with the child. He wants to bring back that relationship. He wants to bring back that fellowship. And it says, and he rose and came to his father when he was yet a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, how do you say that's the same thing? See, I see the story of Joseph, what he wants to do with his brothers. He's not interested in holding back things. He wants to bring them. He says, look, bring your family. He says, I want to take care of you. These 2 years of the famine's nothing. 5 more years are coming. I want to take care of you. And here's the whole point of the story is God deals with us as individuals. Individually, he speaks to our hearts. He wants us to be right. He wants us to have fellowship with him. And his ways are not our ways. If it was us, if we would bring something out and cause us to make a choice one way or another, see, God's not going to force us to do something. But he wants to bring us to a place of surrender. And in this story, I see Joseph's heart yearning so much because he wants that relationship with his brothers. And so often I see God's heart yearning, desiring for that fellowship to be back the way it used to be. And he wants to fall. What did the father from the prodigal son do? You know, the son is starting to confess it. And he says, I've sinned against heaven and thy sight and no more worthy to be called thy son. He doesn't begin saying, okay, because you've done this, you got to do this and that. What does he do? He says, bring forth the best robe, put a ring on his fingers, restore that fellowship we used to have. Today, what has God been working on your heart about? What is it that we have not and are not willing to surrender? Sometimes it's our pride. Sometimes it's a certain sin. Sometimes it's relationship troubles. Sometimes it's bitterness. It could be a long list. Sometimes it's about giving. Sometimes it's about faithfulness. But God deals with you individually. He's trying to grab a hold of your heart. You say, well, no. I've done too much wrong. There's no way God would want to use someone like me. Maybe we wouldn't. But Judah, God wanted to use Judah still. Maybe we would write somebody off. But God says, no. I love Judah so much. I want Jesus to come through the line of Judah. Maybe we would think, God's going to be mean to me. If I get right with God, then God is going to cause all these bad things. That's not what we see in the story at all. We see the picture there that's given. We see what God treats the prodigal son. He just wants you to enter that fellowship. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you will reap what you have sown. Sometimes there will be consequences because of your sin that's later on. But God wants to forgive and God wants to restore that fellowship. And so many times we hold on to it. Now, what is it in your life? Are you growing in the Lord? Are you stronger than you were last week as a Christian? Because if not, sometimes God will bring things in your life and he's trying to teach you and trying to grow you. Have you had enough? I mean, that's the title of the message. Have you had enough? See, Judah had enough, and Judah came to the spot and he says, forget all this. I have to get right. I am tired of all this. No matter what it means to me, I surrender everything. Now you can have me. You can have my life. Judah had enough. How about, are there sins in your life that need to be confessed? And God for years and years and years have dealt with you. And you've seen God working like they saw in chapter 42 and says, what is this that God have done unto us? That God brings things into your life and says, come on, you can get this right. Have you had enough? Are you afraid that there may be a silver cup in your future? What do you mean by that? Are you afraid that there might be some drastic measure that happens to you if you don't get right? See, I think you got the wrong picture of God. See, God's not bringing you to this place of a right fellowship to make you feel bad. God wants that relationship with you. God wants you to surrender all because that's what's best for you. God wants to have that fellowship with you. But so many times we hold on to that sin. We'll deal with circumstance after circumstance. Even say sometimes, I don't know why God's allowing this to happen. I don't know why God would do this to me. But we won't get to the spot where we're surrendered. Today, let me encourage you, just give it over to God. There's been times in my life where God has brought things into my life and my heart. Boy, where I had just put my hands up and say, it's enough. To be honest with you, there was a lot of different stories, and some of them are embarrassing, obviously, because when God deals with us. But there was one I'm going to use. I think I've probably told this before. But there was a time in my life where God really laid me out. I was getting right with God, and God was working on my heart. For years, I had not answered God's call to preach, and he let lots of different trials and lots of different issues happened in my life. And he had to take a man that was prideful and just bring me down one peg at a time to the spot, just like he did with Judah, to where I said, that's it, I had enough. There was a time in my life, and I'm embarrassed to say this, and this is the one the Lord chose, that I didn't tithe like I was supposed to. Now, I used to teach an adult, like a 24, 25-year-old young man. I taught an adult Sunday school class. I taught a junior church. And they wanted me to be a deacon. A couple people asked me about that. And I told we didn't use tithing envelopes, and because I used to use the excuse that no one needs to know how much I give. And I understand why people feel that way. If you choose to do it that way, that's fine. Me, I use it as an excuse so that way I could give what I wanted to and not really be faithful to God. And it was during a deacon's meeting, and back then they would check to see whether or not people gave tithing records. To be a deacon, it was something you knew. They didn't know how much, but they gave a percentage of your income. Only the secretary did. They would run a test through a computer and would spit out the names that were eligible to be deacons. So I'm not sitting in the room, but I've heard the story, and boy, I was humbled by it. I had a good friend of mine that was a deacon. He was sitting in the room, and they said, why isn't Brian Pease's name on the deacon ballot list again? And the one man said, it's because he doesn't tithe at all. And that man got up and he said he doesn't use tithing envelopes and he doesn't do this. And he was preaching and he was, you know, saying that that's not a right thing. And you can have whatever you want there. But I tell you, at that moment in time when I found out that happened, well, I was humbled. I didn't really give like I should. We did give some, but I didn't give like I should. And at that moment in time when I realized that my sins are going to be found out. And then once again, you can pacify and say it was none of those men's business. But that's something God used. These men are men I looked up to. These are men I love. These are men who, once again, I taught the adult Sunday school class. I taught junior church. And for that man, you say, well, that was wrong for that man to stand in front of that group of people. I'm not worried about that man. I need to be worried about myself because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. And God brought that out to light. And I'm not, this is not a service sermon to try to get you to give. That's not it at all. That's one of the things that God brought me to my spot. And, you know, I realized that was another spot where I had had enough. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give like I'm supposed to because that's what I'm supposed to do. Not for man, not for people, but this is something that God had brought into my life. And I was studying to try to become a preacher and things like that. And I did not even have that most basic thing down. I had enough. I had to throw my hands up to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I repented of it. And since then, you know, we've been faithful in our giving, in our records. It's not anybody's business. The Bible says that. But that's something I struggled with. And it's something I did not take until... And God, our finances were bad for a long period of time because of that. And I made a lot more money than I make today. My wife was teaching full time. But we lived for things. And because of that, you know, still the money wasn't there. You say, Pastor, why you tell that? Not trying to make you feel bad about it for me. Because there's plenty more examples of that. But to share my heart with you is that it wasn't till I allow something bad to happen to why I had enough. But God that whole time was waiting. He was waiting to run. He was waiting to put his arms around me. He was waiting to kiss me like he did for the prodigal son. He was waiting for me to get right. And thing after thing after thing happened. I didn't have enough. But it wasn't until I got to the spot where I was completely surrendered and said, Lord, I had enough. I can't do this anymore. Whatever you want, Lord, I'm willing to do it. And that's what happened in the story of Judah here. He was a prideful person. He never got it right with his father. It wasn't until he came home and said, Joseph is alive. And they found out what happens in the story. And Joseph here shows us a picture of the love that God wants to demonstrate to us. This morning, I don't know what sin you have in your heart and your life. I don't know what God's been trying to deal with you or talk to you about. I don't know what he wants you to surrender. But he's sitting there and he's waiting. He wants you to come and he's not going to make you feel bad about it. He wants to forgive you. He's already paid for that sin on the cross. He just wants that fellowship back. He said, there's no way God could use me. God deals with individuals. Don't worry about other people. Worry about what he has dealt with you about and let his ways be the ways. He could use a Judah. He could use a Rahab in the line of Christ. He could use a Ruth in the lay of Christ. We wouldn't choose to do that. We would have picked what we consider the best and the brightest. We would have probably picked somebody from Joseph's family maybe, and maybe the best. No, no. God chooses to use those that have been messed up before in the past. One last thought, and we'll be done. Judah was willing to take Benjamin's place. And that's what sold Joseph. When he saw that he cared more about his father and about his brother than himself, he said, I can reveal myself. I can finally have the fellowship I desire. The truth is, you cannot have fellowship with God without knowing him personally. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior, you do not have a relationship with him. Jesus Christ came to this world, took our place as a sinner. He became sin for us. Now, he never sinned, but the sin was placed on him. He paid our sin debt for us so we could go to heaven and we could have a relationship with God. This morning, if you've never been saved, not sure of your eternal home, Jesus Christ shed his blood so we could develop and have a relationship with God. So if you let me encourage you, we're going to have an invitation where people come forward if God's spoken to their heart. If you're not sure if you die today that you would go to heaven, let me have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. But the message is mostly intended for us believers that have been holding on for too long. You know God's been speaking to your heart about getting rid of something. You know God's been speaking to your heart about doing something. You know God's been speaking to your heart about maybe forgiving somebody or dealing with an issue. You know you have just been holding on to it, but God is just sitting there waiting for you to get right with him because just as Joseph could not hold it back anymore, he was yearning inside. He wanted a relationship with his brothers. God wants that relationship with you. He wants that fellowship with you. Give it up. Give it over to him. He can take care of you. Leave it with the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads back.